There's much that goes on in the kingdom world that we just don't know because no one has spent the time to understand it and culture it. And so part of my role and my job is to bring semantics to be able to frame it for the body of Christ, to give them a way in that is completely different and to give them some platform to be able to build a reality of heaven on and in and around their lives. And so people say to me, man, it has been a cost to be first. It's pretty hard walking through brambles. And the mind games that Christians play. And so, come on, I'm keeping it together really nicely. I only slurred two words. And so, part of the process and protocol that God has given me and my mandate on my scroll is to frame something up first so that others can walk into it freely. And so, yes, it does cost you because you have a lot of people that go, oh, it's okay, Ian. Straight jacket next week. And so, but I found that there is a reward for doing that. And so one of the things that many years ago when the Lord was teaching me about a different way to do spiritual warfare. How many of you know when you read through the Bible, it's like you read it over and over and over, and then suddenly one day you read it and it's like it jumps out the page and smacks you in the face? I call it the railway crossing. Railway crossing. I call it the... Come on, I'm keeping it together. It's all your fault. I'll fix you later, boy. You wait. When you are sleeping one day with rolling pin, one has little lumps on head. And I can remember reading the Psalms, and I used to love Psalm 23, and for about 6 months, I didn't get out of it, and there's 19 different gates in the Psalm 23 into the realm of heaven. And so I spent lots of time reading the Psalms, and the word says there that the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And that day it went ding, 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 ding. And I'd read it over and I spent 6 months meditating around the blasted thing and had never really seen it before. Because remember, we receive 600 billion bits of information every second. We sift out all but 2,000 bits of information. To 2,000 bits of information we sift out are sifted out by your belief systems. So you only remember what you want to that's based on your belief systems. Everything else becomes immaterial. And so, suddenly for me, I was looking at going, God, what's going on here? Like, why is this thing jumping out at me? And the Lord said to me, I want to teach you how to sit at my table where the enemy rages around you. I need you to understand what it means for you to sit at my table, because when you sit there, the enemy can't touch you because he has to come through me first. And I was like, yep. You know, Bob Jones, yep, 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 yep. So I was like, yep. Just like Pumbaa, you know, the big fat pig. Yep, 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 yep. And so. Oh, help me, Jesus. And so I found it excessively, you know, this is my notes for tonight. Don't laugh. This is the ones you can see. And so I began to engage with it. Now, the first thing you've got to understand with the word is that you need to position yourself with the word where the word becomes your covering. Okay? You've been taught that the church is your covering. Yeah. you know, undercover. Brother, you can get deceived if you're not undercover. Well, you get deceived undercover if you're not under the covering of Jesus. I learned one thing, that when I'm in a church service, I will serve the administration of that house with everything that I have. That's why I could be in one church for 24 years. Do you realize that for the last 6 years, I preached 3 times in my church? Hardly anyone knew that I go overseas and I take conferences. They knew I was in and out. Some of them thought it was for my job. They sort of knew I was weird. Because, well, you know that when they say, let's pray for one another, and no one comes and prays for you. Because the last one they did was full of devils, and they laid hands on you, and they manifested. So, and so, it's a true story. And so, I can remember, so one of the key arenas for us to be able to engage with the Word of God properly is to position ourselves in the Word. And so you and I need to position ourselves in the Word, not just looking at it, but position ourselves in it. Okay? The Word is the gate of God to you and I to bring instruction and correction, exhortation, edification, and comfort to us in the time of our need. And so if the Bible says the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, then I need to go and get a grid for what that table is. So to be able to get a grid, you've got to position yourself. So I really love the look of banqueting tables, you know. And the Bible says, you know, he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. And you go, yeah, there's a banqueting table. What you don't realize is actually when you go in the original translation of that, it actually means he brought me to his house of wine. Yep, yep, yep. Anyway, and so I didn't know that they're that stage. And so I got all kind of serious, and I want to... You will not be being cheeky. Nothing in, nothing out. And so the reason I get weird and become an Indian is because when I was in Kuwait, I had an encounter with a big, Indian angel. Brother Ian, how are you doing today? And I went, I'm very good, thank you. It's a true story. And ever since then, I got this Indian thing going on. I think something happened. Anyway, and so what I did is I got pictures of a banqueting table. Like, you know, you go into old books and you see what the king's banqueting table was like and all the goodies that were on there. And so I got this picture in my head. So what I'm doing by building a picture inside my head is I'm positioning myself to begin to engage a truth that is unseen, to pull it into reality so it can become seen, which then becomes an anchor for revelation to be grounded on, so that fruit can come out of the revelation, because revelation is a seed that grows into a tree. Right? Revelation is the hand of God over your life. The covering. And so I began to have this thing in my head about this banqueting table. And so the next thing I would do is I would go and engage with devils on purpose. Because I've said before that they're there for exercise. They can't function outside of what you give them the ability to function with. They need you to function through. So your words frame them up and give them the ability to function. That's why you breathe, to frame stuff up.
That's right.
And so I would go and engage with them because I wanted to see what would happen when I was in the middle of a session of spiritual warfare and I set my buttock down on a table. I see, I'm positioning myself. Yes. Not on the potty. At the table. Jesus. And so, I would do that kind of day after day, just trying to figure out, how does this thing work? Now, because I was positioning myself in it, it began to be activated around me. So what would happen is I'd go, rah, come sit at the table and wait for the rah to come back at me. And sure enough, it would come. But when I was sitting down, I got really disappointed because it wouldn't follow me. And I was like, how come they don't? You got to understand, no one had taught me any of this. So I'm trying to figure the sucker out for myself. So what would happen is in my mind and heart, in my imagination, I would stand up from the table and I'd go back to where I last left them and I begin to engage. And they're right there. And I would jump back into the table expecting them to come because I wanted to see what it was like to have a raging war around me so I can sit at the table and eat. I mean, how would you feel if you came to do warfare and the guy was celebrating? You know, give me a man, I'm going to kill you. And you're eating at a table. How much rejection is that? And so I positioned myself in this place and began to engage with this thing in and out of it. And I realized that when I jumped back here, I came through something. And so I'm really curious. And so when I, and also all this stuff's going on in my imagination, all right, but actually it's in the spirit world because that's the way you see. The spirit man sees in your imagination. The current education system, by the time you reach the age of 5, the first thing they say to a child when it goes to school is, you can't use your imagination anymore, you now need to get logical. So by the time they're 7, they have no more imagination left. And so in my imagination, I would get up and I'm really curious because I recognize I was going through some sort of a veil. And so I don't know about you, but I really like balloons, you know, not your rubber ones, but those with bubbles. Not bubbles, it's not balloons. I like bubbles, you know, the big bubbles. And you get these big bubble rings like this, and you get a fan, and you can blow a bubble big enough for a man to stand in. Sort of goes out and it kind of comes out in this big wobbly thing. But actually, you can put your hand into it and it won't burst the bubble if you've got soap all over your hand and when your hand's full of moisture. And so I got one of these big things. I really like experimenting because it gives you an anchor for a reality so that revelation can be engaged on the anchor. I blew a nice, great big balloon bubble and then I put my hand into the bubble. And I was walking around with this bubble on my hand. People take their dog for a walk. We used to take little flies for a walk too when we were young. We did. So, I mean, we didn't have TV, so we used to make up our own stuff. You know, people used to go take their little dogs for a walk down the road. And so one day we decided to get some silkworm thread and these big blowflies in South Africa. Like, they were big mongrels, man. They go past. You know, when they're flying. And we used to catch them and we used to get their silkworm thread and tie it around their thorax. So they would take their little dogs for a walk down the street and we'd take our blowfly for a walk down the street. Like, it was really funny because they would look at you and they'd go. And it made it even worse when it landed on your hand. You should have seen their face then. It was like. But anyway, I mean, just the things we used to do for fun. So life was never boring when Ian was around. And so I had quite an imagination for that kind of stuff. Bored with the world. And so I realized that when I jumped back into this thing, I came into an atmosphere that the enemy couldn't get through. Yes. And I was like, yeah. So I would go stirring. I'm serious. Like, I want to see if this really works. So I'd go stirring. And I'm serious. I began to actually engage principalities of a region and a nation. Which is just a king that stands in your gate that stops you entering into heaven anyway. So next time someone says you can't go into heaven, go, principality. It's reptilian seed triggers, actually. And so
It's true.
And so, the Bible's talking about the bubble. And so, what I would find is that I would be inside this realm, and so I began to engage these things, and I'd jump into this realm, and it was like they would come smack up. Have you ever seen somebody, like their face up against the window? And it's kind of like all distended with their nose like this. And I'd see these things up against this bubble trying to get through, and they couldn't get through because inside there was an atmosphere of a different voice. Because the table is surrounded by the voice of the Father, because the Father cares for you when you sit at his table, because you're sitting at the table of the King. And so I realized that there were a few goodies that were available at the table. The first goodie I realized was joy. I began to realize that when the scripture says the joy of the Lord is my strength, I began to realize that when I sat down at the table, I could drink, which made me happy. And so, I mean, there were times I would get absolutely blotto, and I'd do the weirdest of things when I get kind of drunk of the Holy Spirit. I'd say these stupid jokes. And I kind of go, I found it really good. It was great. And so joy for me was found at the table. So it was the first fruit of what I began to experience by sitting at the table of the Lord, where the enemy has tried to engage with me, where I've gone and been very naughty and engaged with him, of course, and framed him up and given him the ability to come after me by my words, because he only comes through what you create, because you become the gate for that to function around you. And so I framed all these things up, and in the end I realized I didn't need to do that, because he's only too happy to try and kill me. So all I had to do was just stand up in the kingdom world, and he goes, "Christian, we kill Christians." Most of us go, "Ur, ur, ur, ur," and we back away instead of going higher. And so anyway, so I found that there was joy and celebration. I could celebrate at that table. Woo-hoo! See, even heaven agrees with me. And so, another thing that began to happen with me is I would walk through my day, and I would find I'd get into conflict with people. And what I would do, the moment conflict would start, is I'd jump onto my table. So I'd have somebody going, just like, just, you know, and I wouldn't hear what they're saying because I'm now drinking. I'm going, wow. It was good. And so I get in conflict with people and get in conflict in circumstances and have people that would go absolutely AWOL around you. And you just jump at the table and smile and say a few things, and then you start to laugh. The reason I'm laughing is because I'm sitting at a table and the thing around it knows. So it gets even madder, because it knows you're rejoicing in its face and it can't do anything about it. Awesome. These are just little things that I learned. And so I found that the next thing that began to happen was that the respite came from the conflict. I found it was a place of complete respite, so that when the conflict was starting to rage around me, I'd jump at the table, have a great big swig of the cup of the glory of the presence of God, and drink from the fountain of the elixir of the glory of the blood of the Lamb. And everything would become really nice, and it would be like, and so I would walk around my day practicing going in and practicing stepping out of it. It came to a point where I really didn't want to leave it, because it felt so good being amongst it and in the middle of it. So I found respite from the conflict. Not only that, but the conflict of my own personal life things that we're engaged in my own personal life, where there are bents in our behavioral patterns, the things we do that we don't really want to do, but we really do want to do. That's why we do them, but we don't really want to do them because we know they're wrong, but we enjoy doing them, so we do them, and we really don't want to do them, and we fight against doing them, and the more you fight against doing them, the more you'll do them because you're busy looking at them. You're looking at the right source. You get free from the liberty of that thing anyway, and so, and you know, Christian schizophrenia. And so... So I found, I even started finding the respite from that stuff that would rage at me in my personal life. So I realized that it wasn't just about the enemy, it was also about my own stuff. That I could go and sit at that table and laugh at my own stuff. I began to find respite from the onslaught of the temptation of stuff that was around me. It was also found at the table. So suddenly you'd gone from the spirit world stuff to other people, to me. It's amazing how it always ends up about you, isn't it? Because the whole world revolves around you, didn't you know? And so, the next thing I found in that respite was I found a flow of refreshing that would begin to happen at that table of God. The refreshing was, hey, I can do this. Everything is possible and nothing seems impossible. Why? Because you're half drunk. And when you're half drunk, everything's good, man. And nothing's too hard. And so I found that there would come a place of refreshing around my life that would be released to me when I sat at the table. The next thing that started happening was I found that there was a renewing that would begin to take place inside of me. The renewing was the restoring of my faith and the life of God within me to empower me to do what I needed to do. So I would sit down there, get half drunk, find the respite, what happened from the onslaught of stuff, find refreshing come, and I'd find a new growl. And my spirit man would begin to chug up. Now, let me talk about chugging up a little bit here. I do weird things, as you've already kind of seen. I needed to kind of figure out what it would be like to have my spirit man on the outside of my body, because I understand I need triggers to be able to graft a revelation on. I need a witness on my body, my mind and soul, so my spirit, soul, and body can be in complete alignment and complete agreement with something, so it can be established. Because if I'm divided in any of those, whatever I'm trying to do will not be able to stand. And so what I did was I got a dry suit. Anybody know what a dry suit is? A dry suit is like a wetsuit, except a wetsuit is really hard to put on. Especially if you're half wet. By the time you finish, you're sweating and you're really wet. And I can remember doing that when I was kind of learning how to be skinned with Jesus' skin and whatever. And so, but I got this dry suit. And dry suits are really great because they're kind of easy to put on. They have these little cuffs that are around your arms and around your feet. Now, I'm a little bit weird because I wanted to get a little bit bigger. So what I did was I taped the cuffs up around my legs and around my feet, you know, down my ankles and around your arms, wrists here with electrical tape and tied it really quite tight. And I got my electrical pump. And I stuck it into the top of the wetsuit, in the dry suit. Wow. It felt really good. Because you could run into a wall. And it wouldn't hurt you. Because now there was some cushioning. Do you realize when you chug up and your spirit man gets to the point where it's extended on the outside of your body, the enemy does not have access to your body because he has to come through your glorified spirit first. My daughter really hates my dancing because I stand there and go like this. She says, Dad, don't do that. Just don't do that, Dad. You're embarrassing. You trade on it. Father, forgive them. And so... I didn't realize you liked my dancing that much. I can try again if you like, you know, just like. And so it's in my brain. And so that's how you dance when you're shy. And so I learned how to chug up at the table. And what I would find is that my spirit man would get to the outside of my body, and my body would begin to receive the refreshing of the empowerment of my spirit man so that it can begin to be renewed to walk through the rest of what I needed to walk through in my life. So not only now was I finding complete respite from the enemy couldn't get access to that table. Not only that, but I could rejoice and celebrate at the table, and the raging of what would go on around me wouldn't affect my life because I could sit there and get completely drunk. And it was great. So I learned how to handle my wine was at the table that God prepares for you in the presence of your enemies. And so the renewing began to happen around me from the smiting of the enemy that I'd been so used to, that I had been told was normal Christian life. Oh, it's normal if you get smacked around by the devil. It's normal if you get slimed. Slime can only sit in what looks like itself. And so I found that the refreshing would happen inside my spirit man, and my spirit man and my body and my soul would come alive and would just be like, that's why I growl now occasionally in the meetings. Because my spirit man's going, chug, 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 chug. How big do you want to get in? Do you realize that if you could host your body on a continual basis, your body would get younger? Would you like me to say that for you again? Do you realize that if you could host your body on a continual basis, your body would get younger? The reason that it dies is because it's under the wrong covering. Your body's under the covering of the sun, S-U-N, that has a voice that causes your body to be bound in time to die. Your spirit man has a complete different voice. And if that voice is on the outside of your body, the voice that sits on the outside of that can't get through because it now becomes a tent for your body to sit at a table. The next thing that I found began to happen with me. There's five things actually. Because there's a tree. And so, I'll talk about that in a minute. And so, what I found was that I would come to a place of rest. There was no more striving, no more struggling with stuff. I would just be at rest. And I'd walk through the rest of my day going, yeah, peace, man. And I found myself at rest, even when the enemy was going, rah! At me. You know, kind of like, because I found it a joy to be a believer, because I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was at peace, full of refreshing, able to engage with God on a continual basis, and the enemy didn't have access. It was like, what believer wouldn't want that? So I walked around for 3 years, thoroughly enjoying eating from the table of the Lord, until I realized that there was even a better table to eat from. And that table was in heaven. Do you realize something? Unless you've eaten from the table that God prepares for you in the presence of your enemy, you will never eat from the table that's in heaven. Because this transitions you to that. Without the experience of this and the knowledge of this, you will not be able to experience the knowledge of that. That's why we've got to grow from glory to glory. We've got to learn line upon line, precept to precept. So I would spend my time culturing and cultivating this atmosphere of this bubble, which was the place of complete peace, complete rest, to cease from my striving, to be able to sit at the table, and whenever anything would try and engage me, it would be like walking into this balloon that would just go boing. And I suddenly found that the enemy wasn't around me any longer, because he gets bored when he can't get access. You guys didn't hear that. He gets bored when he hasn't got access. Man, some of this doesn't fit in your doctrine of spiritual warfare. And so I began to cultivate this atmosphere of ownership of my responses to the presence of God. So I would use any circumstance around me that created a negative environment to as a trigger to jump into the realm of the table of the presence of God. So when something didn't work and I broke my fingers, it was really interesting. Four weeks ago, this is why I wear this on my hand, by the way. 4 weeks ago, I was drilling with a power drill and it caught and spun around and turned my finger sideways, shattered it there, turned that little piece on the inside. And so my finger was out there. And the guy across the other plant room, we were walking together, looking at it going, and I went, pow! The worst thing was that when I went to grab a plate, because I had to carry on doing what I was doing, I went to grab it and it started slipping. I put my finger on it and it bent there. That was interesting. Do you realize when that happened, because I had learned to go to the table and to exist at that table and to live my life at that table, when a contrary circumstance happened, I jumped to the table. I found the peace of God. Do you realize not a single word came out of my mouth? Jake was looking at me the other side of the table going, "You okay?" I go, "Yep." "Are you okay?" "Yep." My finger went black. All around here was black. It was one day before I was due to go overseas for a 3-week trip to the States, which was 4 weeks ago. The table of the Lord gives you power beyond your own abilities when you've learned how to sit at it. You have got to culture it. It doesn't happen because you come to a conference and you hear this crazy, freaky New Zealand go, "Oh, you can eat at the table," and you think the next time something bad happens, you're going to jump at the table and you haven't learnt the process. Get alive. You got to culture the stuff around you so that your responses are engaged with what God does around you instantaneously, and it becomes second nature to engage with that stuff like that. It's second nature for me to jump into that stuff when there's pain. I use the physical pain in my body to jump myself to the table. I use anything around me as a trigger to drive me into the presence of God. Use it to sit at the table. Culture it until the atmosphere is cultivated around you. The next thing is, you need to realize that His table becomes your table. It says he prepares a table for you. It doesn't stay His table. It becomes your table. You get legal ownership of it. The table of the Lord is a gift from God to the body of Christ to learn what it means to have His presence become your covering. When destructive circumstances happen around your life, just, I mean, anything that has pain in any measure, Use it to go and sit at the table. But practice sitting at the table first. Culture it so your normal neuron response is to go to what you've patterned inside your brain. Do you realize that you can renew the pattern of your thinking every 21 days? The reason that happens is because your cells of your body are all connected to the thinking realm of your heart. Your heart is where you think. The external cells of your skin are replaced every 21 days. So that means there's a new lot of cells you can program with a complete new thinking inside of them every 21 days for your life. Do you realize that every year, most of your internal organs are replaced by your body with new cells? If you want them to think the same, carry on doing what you've been doing. If you want them to think differently, try culturing some different thinking inside your cells so that when your cells get renewed, they're birthed with a complete different framework and complete different technology inside of them. That's why we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God empowers us and has given us a body to have the capacity to change. So let's talk about going into the realm of the water. The Bible says this, lest a man gets born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot live. All right. So when God separated light and dark, he then separated water. The waters above and the waters below. In the midst of the waters, he calls the firmament to frame itself out of. So there is water above and water below. Do you realize that when you go through the matrix of the realm of the presence of God, through your prayer or through the engagement with the realm of the kingdom world, and you go through that birthing chamber, you are birthed into water. Now, one of the things that happens is that there is a realm that you and I live in for half our life. So for half a second, you're not here. For the other half of a second, you are here. What happens when you're not here is you go into a realm, and because you're not familiar with its empowerment, you leave your life behind and you bring corruption back. And you engage this realm here of corruption to empower your body to die. What happens if I could go into this realm, engage the full provision of resurrected life, and bring that back and live out of this supply instead of the sun's supply for my body? The table of God gives us access to the water of life. That's what's in the elixir veil, or the vase, or the, what do you call it, your chalice. On the table, there is a chalice that you can drink from. That chalice is full of the water of the glory of the Lord, so that it can be seen in the land of the living. If you don't drink from it, it won't go anywhere. It will just sit there. You've got to drink from it. It's a conscious choice that you have to do. I'm going to finish with this because it's now nearly 9:30. You and I have got to face reality around us that this world that we live in is not our reality. It is a figment framed by your imagination, measuring photons so that it forms a vibrational frequency in created light that forms a solid object in front of you. This is not real. Everything you see around you is not real. You have framed it up to give an excuse for your physical body to have an existence in created light. There is another realm that we are supposed to move into called the realm of creative light, which is the light at the beginning when God said, let there be light, before he put the sun and the moon 3 days or 4 days later, and to let their light shine. Two totally different lights. You and I have been given access to creative light to be able to live out of the source of the mystery and wonderment of creative light, to bring it back into the realm of created light, so you will become the source of light and not the sun. That's why the Bible says, let your light shine. Praise the Lord. Some of you had your eyes closed. I wanted to make sure you were awake just so I can finish properly here. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is naughty, naughty Ian. So I don't have my water gun, so I've got to use my voice. I do. I usually have a water gun. I don't like people with their eyes closed because it means you're sleeping. You're not praying because you're no dancing fire, so I know you're sleeping. So don't try and pretend you're praying. Anyway, and so, because I can't read your thoughts. And so, listen, don't go, oh, he's reading my thoughts. That's a cult. Get a life. If you're in Christ and I'm in Christ and all the knowledge that you have is in God and that I'm in God, I will see what God's looking at as well and know the full knowledge of what you're thinking because I'm in God, the same place you are. Because there we're one. Anyway, and so, David and Jenny, I want to thank you for opening this time up for us. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself. I know that when I come in to do conferences, usually there's messes to clean up. And so I don't welcome you to the cleanup mess, but I want to thank you for opening and giving the opportunity to speak at the platform that you guys are trying to build here. It's a great to serve with you and to be with you. Thank you guys for listening and engaging with us. I really love it when you can just grab yourself a seat because I'm not really quite finished yet. Thank you. I really love it when I see the changes in the spirit content of the lives of people. When I am looking here at the front of an auditorium like this, looking at you, I'm not seeing your physical form. When a person engages properly, there is a bar of gold that reflects light that is inside of them that goes and opens up. And I've been watching some of you guys go over this weekend. Now, to me, that is a miracle because it means that God has shifted gears inside of you and you will never be able to be the same. If you try going back to what you've known, you're going to be your own worst enemy and you will hate it because you now know too much. So I actually do really feel sorry for you. Now, I also ask you, please, don't go home to your senior pastor and go, Ian says, we need a bench of three inside our church. And he'll look at you and go, really? And then I get into trouble because of your stupidity. It's true. The Bible says about Mary, it says that she pondered these things. Ponder them. Don't worry that you didn't understand most of it. Okay. I tried to give you a Greek sermon the last one so you at least had something to go home with. Don't worry that you don't understand the semantics that I'm using. Don't worry that you don't understand where I'm coming from. Don't worry. That's what Ron's file is for. You know what Ron's file is? For later Ron? You take the stuff you don't know and you stick it into Ron's file. Because later on, God will help you get revelation on it, and then you can take it out of Ron's file and engage with it. Now, oftentimes, people have had to listen to the stuff over and over and over and over so that the water of your body has a different sound in it. So just allow God to do what he's got to do. Now, another thing is, I don't want any of the stuff from this conference, if you record it, because we do have idiotic people that do this. They record stuff we do at conferences and they cut it and they splice it and they put it on YouTube like it's me speaking, but I say one word here and one word there and another word there, and it kind of makes up a whole different sentence than what I said. Okay, there's the original recordings, which is for your benefit. I would suggest you get them from the conference. Get some of what Justy's been doing. Get some of the stuff that David's been doing. Some of these guys have fantastic stuff that we need to be moving forward with as a body of Christ. Listen to them, engage with it, and allow God to do what he's got to do with you. You are, and you are also powerful enough to say you don't want this. And that's okay as well. Praise the Lord. I'll have what you don't want. With pleasure. Because the Bible does say, to him who has little will be taken away and given to him who has much. It's scriptural. So if you don't want it and you don't want your galaxy, I'll have it. It's a true story. That's why they're out there, waiting for you to be seated in the middle of them. See, all of creation is waiting for your government, not just the earth. And so, be blessed. Enjoy the rest of your week. I hope you can get some sleep over the next week. And I really hope that God will begin to engage with you and begin to change your nation, because this is what this is about.